Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jacob Payne.
And I am Adam Garrity.
Can't hear us in the headphones. That was the issue last time. Hey, gang. It's Wednesday at 10:07 p.m. That must mean it's time for Jacob Payne and whatever radio show he cooks up this week.
No, not a beer.
That is a that's a Sierra Mist.
That's right.
That's caffeine free and
I'm a Fanta orange kind of guy.
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay. It's you know what? I always see the orange sodas. By the way, folks, we should probably get this out of the way.
Yeah, let's do a little introduction.
Let's get an intro. Last week, you were listening to a sports heavy internet radio show. It was called Payne and Hogan. Because my last name is Payne, and the guy who did my show, my co-host, his last name was Hogan. First name Tommy. You can probably find him on Facebook. He seems like a guy looking for a friend.
Probably a Googleable guy.
He's Googleable.
That was a tough word to say.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? He might be looking for a friend, but he wasn't looking for a friend in me. Because you know why, Adam?
He wasn't your Andy or your Woody?
Well, we did a one-hour show last week. We talked sports. We hit Syracuse football. We hit the NFL really hard. We got along great. And I'm walking out of that show, and I'm thinking, "Hey, this went really well.
This is
the start of something special."
Yep.
And we're walking outside, and I'm like, "So, Tommy, what did you think of the show?" Thinking, "Wow, that went a lot better than I thought it would." But he's like, "You know what? Oh, man, I just got a lot on my plate and I just don't, boy, I had a lot of fun." Hey, it's not
you.
Not you, buddy. Right. Okay, you brought the heat. All right, it wasn't you. Man, I just got a lot of stuff going on and I kind of picked and prodded a little further. And Tommy, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are because the listenership is just blowing up right now. Tommy, if you're listening, bud, no offense to you. I'm not going to kind of get into your business, but he did mention that he didn't think it would look good on his resume. Can you believe that? He said, you know what? No offense to WERW,
yeah,
because he knows that's where the whole campus is listening. He says, you know, I've already done, what's the other radio station on campus?
WAER.
He's like, I already did WAER. Okay.
Yeah.
That is good. That portion of my resume is ironclad. Okay. I don't need to spice it up any more than that. So.
Doesn't need more radio credits.
He doesn't need any more radio credits. And he's like, you know what? I'll look at my schedule and I'll let you know. I'm like, okay, Tommy, you're a good guy. You're a straight shooter. I completely trust you in all that you do. And he told me, well, actually, you know what? He didn't tell me anything. He never got back to me.
That's unfortunate.
And so now you're here. You're my plan B. And thank God you showed up. So, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Adam.
Yeah. My name is Adam Garrity. New York City. I don't know.
NYC, born and bred.
Yeah, that's the way it is. We're here to talk about bad movies.
Yes, we've completely flipped the format.
Yeah.
We won't be talking about sports any longer.
I mean, we could talk about sports.
We could. It's not on the rundown.
No, but.
But we're kind of flipping the script. And you and I, we have done one episode of a podcast.
Total of one.
A total of one.
This is done in my spare bedroom that I have in my apartment. I don't know why I have a spare bedroom.
We did.
That in college, but
and,
I did.
No offense, but the acoustics are a lot better here in the women's building.
Oh, my God. It's like you know, this is like somewhat of a studio. Are you telling me that my bedroom isn't a studio? I'm a little confused.
It was just a little creepy. It seemed to be a little bit of an older home.
I will say, before you got there, I actually I swapped out the light bulbs in the room. Because they were
wow, that was really thoughtful of
you. They were like a fluorescent, ugly white, and I thought, you know what, this room looks sketchy enough as it is. You know, flip it out for something a bit more softer, bit less intimidating, and I think it made the world a difference.
It had a bit of a yellow hue,
yeah,
which I don't hate.
No,
some people call it a golden brown.
Yeah, but I think it's better than the harsh blue where you get to see all the acne I have on my forehead.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I'm a bit of an acne prone individual myself. That's why you'll regularly see me in hats. Also, I have a receding hairline and braces, which is why I'm coming to you over the radio and not on television. And
he's got the face for radio and the voice for it, too.
I got a face for radio and a voice for deaf people. Mm-hmm. Let's do some radio, folks. Yep. So the name of this show is Lieutenant Dan's Legs.
Yep. As we all know, Lieutenant Dan.
It doesn't need any explanation.
Fateful Forrest Gump character.
But maybe we should explain it a little
know,
bit.
But, you know, if you know a thing or two about movies, you've probably seen Forrest Gump.
You've seen Forrest Gump.
I, if you haven't seen Forrest Gump, you should go see Forrest Gump. We're not talking about Forrest Gump during the show, but you should go see Forrest Gump.
If you haven't seen Forrest Gump, you're likely in a cave.
Yep.
In the mountains of Pakistan. And you're probably Osama bin Laden.
You've probably never even had a box of chocolates.
And I could have sworn we got bin Laden.
I know.
Okay, that's how Obama rode into his second term. But
I think we might have discovered bin Laden in this movie we're talking about, Jack and Jill. I think we did. Lakers game.
That was good. Okay.
Thank you for that transition, ladies.
So that was a great transition. And basically, Adam is telling me, let's get the fuck on the road.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't think we're beholden to FCC.
We got a rundown. You know, might as well stick to it.
We do have a run. So what we like to do on Lieutenant Dan's Legs is we like to talk about movies.
Yeah.
And particularly bad movies.
Mm-hmm.
In episode one, we ripped Tommy Wiseau's The Room
mm-hmm.
to shreds.
A true masterpiece.
And that took about 90 minutes.
Essentially the length of the movie.
I understand, Adam, you're still trying to edit that down to a palatable.
Not gonna lie, I saw the file and was so scared that I haven't even started.
Damn, and that's expected by Friday mm-hmm. by the higher ups.
Hey, it'll be a fun Thursday
over
project.
There at Autonomous Productions.
Oh yeah, they're real sticklers over there.
They're sticklers for the rules. Yeah, the meetings are not fun,
but you know.
they run a tight ship.
Hey, the meetings don't run too long though, which what I do appreciate.
Well, it's because there's no room for nonsense.
Yeah.
Okay.
We take no prisoners over here.
Anyways, as you can tell, you know, our organized bosses have really rubbed off on us because we run a tight ship mm-hmm. over here at Lieutenant Dan's Leg. So for this episode, we watched Jack and Jill, which, of course, stars Adam Sandler as Jack.
And Jill.
And playing Jill is also happens to be Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
What are the odds of that? I just wanted to ask you, Adam Sandler, he's made a bunch of movies.
Yeah, yes.
You've likely seen most of them.
I've seen a good number. I wouldn't say I've seen all of them.
You're from New York City.
Yeah.
And I believe Adam Sandler.
He's a New Yorker.
So are you guys protective of your own up there?
Oh,
what's the deal?
I mean, you gotta be. But I will say that my parents were, I would describe them as snobbish when it comes to movies.
Really?
Growing up, my movie palette was made up of Studio Ghibli animated movies from Japan.
Wow.
And my parents showed me the movie Life is Beautiful, which is the Italian language Holocaust film at the age of 11.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I think it was just an introduction to being Jewish. But
the Italians were, correct me if I'm wrong, weren't they part of the Axis powers?
They
were
indeed
World War
during
II?
The second. Yeah, they weren't too happy about Jews, but I think that was more the Germans rubbing off on them than the Italians themselves. And, you know, all the classic Pixar films, but Adam Sandler movies were looked down a little bit upon in my house. Yeah, my mom did not have was not the biggest fan of Adam Sandler. That doesn't mean I haven't seen Adam Sandler movies. I'm a big fan of Billy Madison. All the good stuff. But, you know, it wasn't something that was really sticking with me growing up.
Were you raised in a Jewish home?
I am Jewish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler, also famously Jewish.
Famously Jewish.
So, I mean, he's...
I don't know.
Twofer, you still...
I know, it's
does
shocking.
Nothing for you. Eight Crazy Nights?
No. I mean, I like Adam Sandler, but it's just...
I mean, he's an okay guy.
He seems like a great guy, but...
So you don't have a favorite Adam Sandler movie?
If I had to say, I mean, like... Here's the thing. You're probably expecting me to say something like a comedy, but I really loved him in Uncut Gems.
That was a good film. That was a good movie. It was a twist ending.
Yeah.
For those of you who haven't seen Uncut Gems, you invest a lot into it. I would recommend that you have a high tolerance for screaming. Because it's never really at a conversational level.
The movie is at about 110% the entire time.
Yeah, it's very high anxiety. Mm-hmm.
Always moving.
A lot of stress. And it's fast paced. You got to give it that. But like, there's no real part to like relax and take a deep breath. You know, there's always some sort of conflict and screaming.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned.
Very interesting to watch.
So I had a top five. I had some notes. They're in my bag. I don't think I'll need them.
I want to hear you shoot, though. Give me the list.
Okay. I think I can probably snag it right here. Yeah. Okay. So should I kind of build it up to a crescendo and start
I think we'll start at number five.
Number five, I have The Wedding Singer.
Oh, okay.
So
my brother is a big fan of this movie.
When I'm looking at my top five, all of these are classic comedy films. And I know Sandler has made a lot of stinkers, and Jack and Jill certainly widely considered to be among them. But
probably
when you
the
just,
biggest.
But when you look at the cream of the crop, like this guy has had such a huge impact on comedy. It's kind of crazy. I would be hard pressed to find someone else who's had this many good films outside of someone like Tom Hanks like that.
If we're talking comedy, maybe like a Mike Myers.
Yeah, but even Mike Myers, you have Wayne's World.
Austin Powers.
Austin Powers and Shrek, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of does
that,
it.
But that's a pretty good hit list, I gotta
say.
That's
a good hit list.
But it's not. Adam Sandler's got quantity.
He does. But there's quality near the top. Let me keep going. Number four is Happy Gilmore, which... Happy Gilmore clocking in at four. How great is this list already?
Already. It's fantastic.
Have you seen Happy Gilmore?
Of course.
Of course you've seen Happy Gilmore.
How can you not have seen Happy Gilmore? I mean, you know, but.
I think number three, I have The Water Boy, which I think was the first Adam Sandler movie I was ever introduced to. I can remember playing youth football as a kid, and that was sort of like homework because they wanted us to hit harder. And they wanted us to go home and watch The Water Boy and get motivated to go knock out other 8-year-old children. They wanted us to get. So in this movie, Adam Sandler plays Bobby Boucher, and he's on the spectrum, to put it mildly.
Yeah, I think that described it.
So
a little bit of Asperger's, something like that.
Yeah, they wanted us to form Asperger strength in football practice. So that's why I watched The Water Boy. Number two, Big Daddy. And number one, I have Billy Madison.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that list there?
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
God damn, I love Billy Madison.
I'm a little surprised that Grown Ups is out of the top five. I'm a big fan of that movie.
You're a big fan of Grown Ups? I think that's one that a lot of people are critical of.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just, you know, I also have to say that Grown Ups came out in 2010, and I was 10 years old, which I think was the perfect age to see a movie like that.
I was graduating high school in 2010.
God.
So I was already too old for Grown Ups. Well. God damn. Okay, so we're talking about Jack and Jill, which I believe came out in 2011.
Sounds
yes, that's right.
Right. Yeah.
Because they made a big deal on the movie poster. It came out November 11th. 2011. 11, 11,
11. Yep.
They liked the
repetition
there. That's a lot of ones.
It's a lot of ones.
So Jack and Jill, $79 million budget, which I don't really have a good reference for movies. Evidently, that's on the expensive side.
Yeah, I would say so.
But it did gross $150 million. Not a smash hit, but hey.
They made their money back, and that's, you know, that's better than most movies.
They made their money back and then some, but they had some big stars in this movie.
Al Pacino plays a big role.
Yes. So Adam Sandler plays both leads, but Al Pacino has a huge role.
Massive.
You know, this guy is the Godfather. He is Scarface, but he is not too high profile to stoop to the depths of Jack and Jill. Johnny Depp makes a cameo, and of course it wouldn't be an Adam Sandler movie unless he brought along his crew from The Water Boy. I actually didn't see Rob Schneider, but you see a lot of guys from The Water Boy. Have you seen Grandma's Boy?
I don't think I have.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the lead from Grandma's Boy is in it. Anyway, Nick Swartzen who's been in a few Adam Sandler movies. Johnny Depp has a cameo. I don't know if I've mentioned it. So what I have here on the rundown is I have a bunch of clips.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to links to YouTube. There will likely be an ad or two.
Yep.
That if you'll just bear with us, we'll get through it.
Doesn't even pay for the show, but you know.
Some free advertising here on WERW. First, I just wanted to start off with the trailer, just to give folks a good feeling.
A little teaser
for the picture.
Yeah.
And we're gonna run this here on the computer audio, and gosh dang it, we're just gonna hope you folks at home can hear it.
Here's hoping it works.
Here's hoping.
In every family, there's one person who drives you a little crazy.
I gotta pick Jill up at 4 a.m.
She comes once a year and she's leaving on Sunday.
But during the holidays...
Jack, no fighting this year.
There's no escaping it when it's your sister.
How we doing?
Your twin sister.
Are you going bald?
Spoiler alert.
No, you're getting fatter.
Adam Sandler's Jack Angel.
Beneath the cover more faith.
Okay.
From the producers of Just Go With It and Grown Ups.
And two are so alike.
We are nothing alike, I promise you.
Okay, in this scene, I'm just going to, Adam, just so you know, you can't see the screen here, but I'm going to pause it every once in a while to let people know what's happening in the clip.
Sounds about right.
They are basically laying down the foundation of how similar they are. They're in the movie, and they're both eating popcorn simultaneously.
Similar style.
And then scratching their crotch.
Yeah.
In sync.
It was a little weird.
It was weird.
I mean, it was very weird.
I know men are prone to crotch scratching, but
it wasn't a trait that I expected to see in a woman, but maybe
I'll tell you right now, it's not very ladylike.
No.
But not at all.
I don't think we're here to decide what is not chivalrous these
days. Especially a fine young lady from the Bronx.
I mean, like what's Jill not
supposed
to be?
Look
at her. She's amazing.
The finest crop of ladies you'll find anywhere, but we'll go ahead and continue here.
She isn't subtle.
Jill, this is Otto.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you!
Okay, this is a great scene at the beginning of the movie where Jack and Jill's... No. Is it Jack and Jill's parents or is it Katie Holmes' parents? I think Katie Holmes.
It has to be
Katie
Holmes' parents, because isn't it a whole plot point that their mom, Jack and Jill's mom, is dead?
That is a big plot point. Yeah, absolutely right. So it's Katie Holmes plays Adam Sandler's wife, and her parents are there for Thanksgiving, and they've invited a homeless man to dinner because that's just the kind of people they are.
They're stand-up guys.
And I don't know if they'll get into it in the trailer, but the homeless guy is so put off by Jill. He finds her so annoying that he insists on leaving Thanksgiving dinner early.
Yep.
Because he can't take it. He doesn't have anywhere to go.
He chooses to become homeless.
Right.
Instead of staying inside.
He has no access to food. This is the best meal he's probably had in years. Mm-hmm. And yet she is so obnoxious, he has to get out of there.
And you know what? I understand.
They don't make her likable in the beginning.
Are you whispering with a bullhorn or something? Everybody hears you.
She isn't shy.
I put a little list together of things I want to do before I leave.
Studio tour, beach, horseback riding.
Let's go! Oh my God!
Okay, she goes horseback riding. She weighs the same as a full-grown man, so she's heavy.
She's probably similar in weight to Adam Sandler.
She's heavier. I would wager to guess they're almost exactly the same weight.
Yeah, I think Jack and Jill have a lot of similarities.
She gets on a little pony.
Yep.
And the pony, it's actually quite a heartbreaking scene, buckles underneath the weight of Jill.
Yep.
And is basically flattened out. And it's pretty graphic. And I checked the rating just to make sure.
Yeah.
Was looking to see for a rated R or rated X just for that graphic scene.
Pony's legs just don't move like that.
It's only PG-13.
Oh,
so
really?
That was very upsetting for me.
Damn.
I found it highly inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And as a former member of PETA, you know, they make you pay dues.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, normally in spirit, I don't have a problem with, but I was just unable to keep up.
I knew a lot of horse girls back home. They were not a fan of this scene.
So when you say horse girls, do you mean like half girl, half horse?
You know, you could go in that sort of centaur direction, but I think they're more along the lines of they just like riding horses, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's
but
so
it's a certain type of person. It's a certain type of person.
Horse on the top or horse on the bottom?
Well, I mean, I think the Greek mythology has the horse on the bottom, but I think we live in a BoJack Horseman era where the horse head goes on top.
It's full horse. They're standing upright.
Yeah.
They speak English,
mm-hmm.
but they look like a horse.
Yeah. Mr. Ed, essentially.
Man, I am getting some gas from that Sierra Miss.
It's that carbonation.
Okay, I think I'm going to stop the trailer there. I think we get a good feel for who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Jill comes to town. She's annoying. She's obnoxious.
Some would say intolerable.
She's intolerable. They haven't seen each other for a while, and she kind of overstays her welcome. And by the way, Jack is very successful. He has a dream life. He is a wealthy ad executive.
Yep.
I think the movie opens with a commercial starring Regis Philbin.
Yep.
Rest in peace.
For, I think it was Pepto-Bismol.
Pepto-Bismol, yeah. Regis Philbin commercial.
Sounds about right.
And he lives in a beautiful home, has everything he could possibly want.
I mean, he's married to Katie Holmes.
He's married to Katie Holmes. They have two children, one biological, one adopted Indian child.
Who is an interesting character.
This young boy likes taping things to himself.
He doesn't wear shirts very often.
Doesn't wear shirts, and he constantly is scotch taping either inanimate yeah. objects or animals.
He's got a mean right hook. he's got some strength behind
you know
that
what
punch.
I think yes. So let's go to this Thanksgiving meal here. This next clip, this sort of just plays out the relationship between the
you
two.
And Daddy have twin powers.
What's it?
It's this thing we saw in 60 Minutes. Some twins have strange powers and they can feel when the other one's hurt.
Oh, Jack and I can do that. What? Why are you making a face? Tell me you don't feel this.
I didn't feel it. Maybe if you did it harder. A little harder.
No, Jill, stop it. He's kidding.
What?
Oh! Oh, don't just fight!
Okay, so that's the scene that Adam alluded to.
Yep.
Obviously, Jill is a fucking idiot. That's made very clear.
It's pretty obvious. I mean, in case it wasn't obvious from the sound effects, Jill is slapping herself in this scene to prove that twin powers exist and that Jack can feel the pain that Jill does when Jill hits herself.
And this is the most fun Jack or Adam Sandler has had since Jill came to town.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting her hit herself in the face harder and harder. And his adopted Indian child sort of finish off the job here and yep. decks her in the face.
Yep.
Let's continue watching this clip.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. Yeah, I mean, that was Eden 100% connect.
Feel that, Daddy?
I actually did feel something there. Pride in my son.
Hilarious. That was an early first laugh
mm-hmm.
of the film.
Definitely a laugh for me.
By the way, his son has a pepper shaker, a pepper grinder taped to his face.
And I think he had a turkey leg taped to his chest.
Yeah. At different portions in the meal.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jill is going to be there for a while. And we got to find something for her to do because heaven forbid Jack actually
has to spend time with
quality
Jill.
Time. He's a busy guy. He's got big ad deals to close and commercials to shoot
and his life that doesn't.
He's
involve
got a hot
Jill.
Life to fuck.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to manage.
You know, foreign children to adopt. He's got a lot on his plate.
You know,
Jill has a long laundry list of things she likes to do. Among them is she wants to be on a game show. And somehow finds her way onto the Price is Right. Let's
Jill
watch.
Jill Sadelstein, come on down. You're the next contestant on the Price is Right.
All right, Jill, go ahead.
By the way, Drew Carey, is he still hosting the Price is Right?
He has to be.
He looks great. He used to be a real husky guy.
It's also, this movie came out 10 years ago.
I know, but when he first came on the scene, he was like 250. He looks like 170.
Gary Sophie, tell the hard guys, $1.
$1.
$1's the winner.
Good luck to you.
Oh, okay. And so Jill, played by Adam Sandler, goes to spin the wheel.
Win some money, maybe.
It's a giant wheel.
It's a pretty big wheel.
And it's a heavy wheel, too.
I mean, I've never personally spun it, but I'd have to imagine it's heavy.
It looks, I mean, you got to get it some torque to get that wheel going.
Yeah, yeah.
And she spins it right into her face, and she goes down. And, you know,
she goes down hard.
I think it's worth listening to the end of this clip here.
Saw that before. Hey, let's give her a bunch of prizes. We'll be right back right after this. Don't go away.
So, Drew Carey just glazes over the fact that she's knocked out cold and is like, hey, let's just throw some prizes at her.
Throw some money at the problem.
Let's avoid the lawsuit. Let's get this man woman.
I mean, let's be honest. Jill is not the type of person to sue over this type of situation, I think.
She isn't. And as you'll find out, she doesn't really know how to. I don't think she's a very litigious person. She doesn't know how to use the internet.
No.
She's very much alone. As you mentioned earlier, their mother recently passed away, and I think the reason why she is there and wanting to attach herself to her brother is because she's lonely and she doesn't have that companion.
It's actually pretty sad if you think about it.
It is sad. It's a sad moment. And so what do they decide to do? They decide to try to find her a man, and they turn to the internet because, of course, that is where you meet your partner these days.
Yes, sir. And so,
Adam, are you in a relationship?
Not currently.
Were you in one recently?
No.
Oh, man. I'm sorry you had to admit that.
God. Oh, my God. Look at me over here. I'm so sad. I'm single. How could it be?
You are barely 20 years old. You got your whole life ahead of you. You're in college.
I'm not exactly concerned.
No, I'm a little older. I do have a girlfriend, and we did meet on Twitter. And
not on Twitter?
No, I said a Tinder.
Oh, Tinder.
I haven't been on Tinder for so long.
If you met on Twitter, that would have been a really interesting story.
Can you imagine just sliding into the DMs and being really aggressive?
I mean, like, I've heard of sliding into DMs, but I always thought it was an Instagram thing.
No, it was actually Tinder. And obviously, people don't go on Tinder to meet their soulmate.
Not
but,
typically.
We matched. And the way she tells the story, we were supposed to meet, and this was in like October of 2014, but I stood her up. Her version of events, I don't quite remember things going this way.
Right.
And she's from Ecuador, so she was in Houston as part of an internship at the hospital, and she goes back home, and I basically miss out on meeting her.
That's it.
But we keep talking, you know, because we're still matched. We exchange numbers and we keep talking and we're talking every day. And pretty soon I'm telling her everything about myself and I know everything about her.
Wow.
And, you know, this isn't the right show, but anyways, it's not impossible. Okay. You can meet the right one online, but you do have to get lucky. And Jill is not lucky.
You have a better success rate in person, I think.
You're probably right. Unless you look like Jill. And then you got to turn to the internet. She goes to like a Christian Mingle or some sort of dating website.
MySoulmate.net.
MySoulmate.net.
Is the website she makes her profile on. She's looking for her soulmate. As she says, she's got some soul in her.
Yeah. She's got a whole lot of something inside her.
She's got something.
She's got something. But, you know, she's not really getting a lot of hits. She decided to post a picture of her eating a slice of pizza.
Is that what it was? I couldn't tell if it was like a calzone or like.
It looked like it was either a giant slice of pizza or an average size calzone.
It was something. And I also want to note that her profile name contains the word Barry Manilow's name in it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was an interesting choice. Yeah.
You know? Oh, what was the line? The joke was, hey, Jill, you have to pick a username. And she was like, username? Well, how about Manilow? Because he could use me anytime. Okay, she's not getting any hits. Her brother, Jack, feels bad. So, of course, he turns to Craigslist Casual Encounters.
Casual Encounters, yes.
To try to fill up her inbox. And this next clip we want to play you guys is her first date.
I'm answering it.
And Adam, this is this is almost a 3-minute clip. So feel free to jump in at any time. She's getting ready. The door. Guess who it is? None other than Norm McDonald.
Yeah, that's me.
At the door.
You don't look like a fun.
And his username is Fun.
I was picturing someone more fun.
He's a bucket of fun.
Because on Craigslist, you don't use your real name. And
I want you to tell me right up front.
If you're trying to fuck, why not Fun Bucket?
Come here.
Carries liquids.
You mention Craigslist to her? Or do anything that hurts.
I don't know where I'm trying to go.
I'll stick my foot.
Fun Bucket?
Manilow?
She's coming down the stairs, and she's kind of dressed like a shower loofah. Just very frilly, a lot of ruffles. It's all blue. It's forgive me if this is insensitive, but blue, that's like a Hanukkah color.
It's a pretty Jewish color.
Yeah, it seems kind of like a Jewish theme.
Yeah. I mean, they make there's a lot of interesting Jew jokes that go on in this movie, but, you know, that's Adam Sandler. So it's kind of par for the course.
Yeah, you know
it's,
what?
Is that a Happy Gilmore joke?
I wasn't intentional, but now that you mentioned it, I feel very proud of myself.
In all honesty, the clock's
ticking. And Norm McDonald, upon seeing...
I'm kidding you. I just said that because I'm very nervous.
In a state
right
of shock.
He's not excited, but he's a good sport for the most of it. As we speak, they're at dinner.
I'm not even feeling it.
He's not enjoying himself because it's a woman who looks exactly like Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
An older Adam Sandler.
It's really happening, and that's some sort of terrifying nightmare.
I know. What do you do?
I love Norm McDonald.
Don't tell me. I don't want.
Whatever happened to him? Did he just age out of comedy? Did he say? Did he get canceled?
I don't really know. I'm gonna go to Norm McDonald. Okay. I mean, let's see. We can Google this guy right now. What's he been in lately?
So Norm excuses himself.
He pulls the old "I have to use the bathroom."
I have to use the bathroom.
Take away your salads.
This is a great line.
I think he's just waiting for his to cool off, so we'll just a few more minutes.
The waiter comes by, asks, because they haven't even gotten past the Caesar salads, folks. This meal did not progress very far. And the waiter asks, are you guys done with your salads? And Jill says,
oh, I think he's just waiting for his salad to cool off.
And it's a Caesar salad.
It's a Caesar salad, and he has climbed through the bathroom window. So Jill is 0-for-1 on dates.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Jack is actively pursuing Al Pacino for a Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Which, if he doesn't get Al Pacino to do this Dunkin' Donuts commercial, his advertising company might go under. So there's some big stakes
for
Jack here.
Very bizarre, because they seem to be wildly successful. Regis Philbin, in fact, is shooting a Pepto-Bismol commercial.
Yeah.
You would think that alone would be enough to keep the lights on for at least a little bit.
And it seems like everyone in that office is doing something, right? Like, there has to be work for them to do.
Is Adam... Well... I think you'll see at the end of the movie, his name is sort of on the building.
Yeah.
But it's almost like he's the only one who's bringing in revenue.
Yeah. Where's the other partner? Who's doing the work here?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. But they have a lot riding on Al Pacino being in a Dunkin' Donuts commercial. And obviously, Al Pacino, arguably one of the greatest actors to ever live.
Yep.
That's a tough sell to try to get him to do a Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it has to be Al Pacino is because Dunkin' Donuts has a new beverage called the Dunkachino.
Very creative name.
That kind of sounds like Al Pacino, doesn't it? Dunkachino?
I think that's where they got the idea
from. It's the only logical choice.
Yeah.
So Adam Sandler hears about Pacino being at a Lakers game. He gets tickets. And for some reason, he has to bring Jill along because... Of course, she is a sad, lonely mess.
He feels bad about having set her up that bad. Probably paying back.
Right. Sort of making up. And quality on this one isn't great.
I'm doing research. I don't want to be recognized, okay?
But Al Pacino sitting courtside, sitting next to Johnny Depp. This is so funny. The video I'm watching is bootleg, because you've seen people get up in the theater and walk in front of the screen. So just so you know, what you're listening to is a camcorder video of Jack.
That's why it sounds so
Al Pacino,
the movie actor?
Yes, yes.
Hey, Tom.
What do you think people are thinking here that I'm sitting with my rabbi?
Hey, guys, big game tonight.
Yeah.
How you doing, Johnny?
He does look as lumpy. Mr. Pacino. And I mean that
I met you one time
possible.
In a movie for me.
I'm not trying to be offensive here. It's really just like a descriptive fact.
He's thirsty.
I think that's what they were going
for. Oh, okay. It's theater of the movie.
It was Cats and Dogs 3, and
so
we were sitting in the
Adam
same
Sandler
room.
So Adam Sandler was introducing himself, and
I gave you mine.
Turns out they'd met before.
And you called me popcorn the rest of the night.
He's explaining that story.
Yes.
Yeah, nice to see you again.
Gotta love
you. Hey, what's with the beard? You look a little like Bin Laden.
So that was a 9/11 joke.
Hold on.
While we're on the topic here, Adam, you're a native of New York City. What year were you born?
2000. So,
okay, so 9/11 wasn't even a blip on your
radar. I have no memory of 9/11 happening.
You have not. You know, you hear people talk about it, and I guess no one your age. But
no.
When I was growing up, that was the thing. Like, my parents had the Kennedy assassination, right? Like, you always know where you were when that happened.
Yeah, of
right?
course.
My mother.
It's true for my dad as well.
Right. Yeah. My mother was born in 60. The assassination happened in 62, but for some reason she can tell me
where
she was. Yeah.
My mom was born in 58. I don't even think she could tell you.
She's probably lying. But
yeah, let me
anyways.
I mean, I could tell you where I was on 9/11 because I was probably in preschool or in daycare. One of the two.
I was in elementary school. And I believe, and I have my memory's weird. I tend to misremember things quite a bit because I'll tell stories and then I'll have people tell me, no, that's not how it happened.
Yeah.
At all. But
as far as you remember,
I think I remember being picked up early from school. And I grew up in Houston, you know, far away from where things were happening in New York City. But no one knew what was happening. Houston is a, you know, top five city in population. People didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
I think my parents were concerned. They picked me up from school. I remember walking past the office and looking through the window and seeing, you know, smoke coming from a building. And I was thinking, like, the teachers get to watch movies in school. You know, like, this is bullshit. Obviously, it turns out they were watching the news.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, Adam Sandler, New York City native, squeezes in a Bin Laden joke here. I thought we'd take a stroll down memory lane.
Yeah, and like
one of the darkest days in American history.
Yeah. Now that you think about it, this movie you said was released on 11/11/11.
11/11/11.
Exactly 2 months after the 10-year anniversary.
2 months after the 10. Maybe Adam, as a comedian, was like, "Okay, give it 10 years.
Give it ten years,
and then we can do a Bin Laden joke. 10 years. I got a good one.
Yep."
Have you ever noticed if you put a beard on Al Pacino, he kind of looks like Bin Laden?
He probably thought
I got to wait
that.
10 years to work this into a movie. I'll build a whole movie around this joke.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's exactly what happened.
I think Bin Laden had been shot by this point.
2011. When was he killed? Was he killed in 2010?
I think it was Obama's first term.
It definitely was his first term because he rode that into his second term.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was 2010 or 2011.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
You might be right. I think he probably was just killed.
Let's see.
Shout out to SEAL Team 6.
Yeah, killed May 2nd, 2011.
There you go. Okay, so they were probably shooting when that happened.
Poor use of words, or maybe it is a good use
of
words.
Oh, shit. Filming? God damn it. God damn it, Adam. God damn it. Now I'm coming off as an asshole. So basically, long story short, in this scene, Jill is introduced to Al Pacino. And Al Pacino, as it would turn out, turns out to be just as horny as Bin Laden. Because I think they found him. Didn't they find a porn stash in his little hovel?
I'm going to be honest. I wasn't following the news too closely.
He was hiding in a cave. What was he going to do other than masturbate? mercilessly.
It's a pretty good thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, you're on the way out. Just fucking...
Just, you know, like, full send it.
Jerk your dick off,
dude,
man.
Just, like, you're living your life.
I mean, get yourself ready for those virgins.
I think that's exactly what he was doing.
That offensive? It might be. Anywhoozle. So Al Pacino meets Jill and is smitten right away and is trying to get in her pants. And that sets up our next scene, Al Pacino and Jill on a date.
Can you do me a favor and not hold me like this?
And in the scene here, Al Pacino and Jill are kind of bonding over the fact that they're from the Bronx. And he pulls out his original stickball stick, which if you're from the Bronx, of course.
It was a thing.
Everybody played stickball out in the street.
I mean, you know.
Just
the Bronx hasn't evolved a day since 1944.
Where I grew up in I like the sound of that.
Oh my god!
So she basically nails the ball and hits his Oscar and knocks it off the shelf.
Ah, you'd think it, but oddly enough, I don't.
This clip doesn't really add to the show.
No, it doesn't.
But that was fun.
But
so
we're working our way through the movie.
So basically, that was their first date, and
Jill's a little reserved. She's not as open as she was on the first date in the movie. I think she's been scarred a little bit by that experience, and she's taken it
the
slow.
Norm MacDonald experience.
She doesn't want to dive in too soon and get her heart broken.
You know what? I think that's a great observation because she's not much to look at. Okay, she basically looks like a grown Jewish man in drag. And you would think that
some would
like,
say she is
right. I mean, some less progressive individuals would say that that's exactly what she is.
You know what? Jill can be whatever woman she wants to be.
By the way, I had this in my notes and we don't have it in the clips. Did you happen to see the scene? It's toward the end of the movie. One of Al Pacino's plays and Bruce Jenner is one of his co-stars.
I saw the initial scene where he has that
you
mental
saw the
breakdown.
Initial scene.
Was
yes,
Bruce
the
Jenner
initial...
in that scene?
No. It was another scene. Bruce Jenner doesn't have a line.
Oh, my God.
But it's Bruce Jenner pre-operation is in the scene, and he's basically a punching bag because it's like, hey, get a load of Bruce Jenner. He has nothing else better to do. He's in this fucking play. Look at this fucking annoying loser gold medal winning piece of shit.
God.
And how ironic is it that it's Adam Sandler in drag for the whole film and this is preceding the sex change.
Yeah.
So funny how things work out.
Yeah. Well, now she's Caitlyn Jenner and more power to her.
Now it's Caitlyn. And you know, I still don't find her attractive, but
to each their own.
To each their own.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you'd be surprised what people are into out there.
I would be surprised. Actually, I don't think I would be.
I mean,
you ever heard of Rule 34?
What's Rule 34?
Rule 34 is the I would say it's probably the most important rule on the internet, which is that if it exists.
I didn't even know there were rules on the internet.
It's probably the only rule on the internet. It's not really even a rule. It's more of a
but
law.
But it's number 34.
It's a theory that is always proven correct, which is that if something exists on the internet, there's likely been a porn made about it.
Mm. Goddamn.
And with that in mind, I think it's hard to be surprised by people being attracted to anything these days.
Before I move on, a quick question. If you were making out with someone, it's, you know, you met them at a bar, you got them in your car or something.
Sure.
And you came across something masculine, whether it be hairy legs or like an Adam's apple.
Mm-hmm.
What's your reaction?
I mean, in the moment, I think it's a little hard to do anything other than be in your head. You know what? That's fucking weird, but I'm here now.
But you're already there.
I'm going to just push through and
why is it so hard to stop?
Yeah.
Even when your subconscious is telling you something's awry, you just can't bring yourself to being the asshole who just stops.
Yeah.
Right? That's so weird.
I think it's just like
we're polite to a fault.
It's peer pressure, man. It's tough.
Okay, so as homely as she is, as lonely as she is, Jill is not interested in Al Pacino. But you know what? There happens to be a gardener character.
Who, Al Pacino.
Did we ever learn his name?
I don't know his name. But originally when I first saw him, I'm not going to lie, I thought it was a white actor in Hispanic makeup. And I'm like, holy shit, were we really this racist?
I mean,
in 2011.
The character is so like...
It's very, very stereotypical.
Yeah, it's like to the point where like if someone was... if it was a white actor in Mexican like paint, I like almost wouldn't have been surprised.
The only reason why I knew it wasn't someone in brownface, and I don't know if that's the politically correct term.
I mean, I don't think there is a politically correct way to...
But the only reason why I knew it wasn't a white actor in Mexican face paint is because I've seen this actor before, and I mentioned my girlfriend was from Ecuador, so I've seen him in some South American comedies with her. And evidently, ironically enough, she described this actor as the Hispanic Adam Sandler. So this guy has a big following in South America.
A casting director was probably really proud of that fact.
Yeah, I'm sure he was very proud of himself. But the reason why this character is so offensive, he has a catchphrase and he'll say something stereotypical, offensive, and then he'll say, just kidding.
Not to mention, he's a Mexican who makes jokes about illegal immigrants and works as a landscaper.
Works as a landscaper.
White family. Could you get more on the nose?
And as you'll see here, has a pretty large family.
Just fix.
Let's see if we can.
What are you doing? What booth is
the Juan?
Okay, here
Juan
we go.
Junior, my sister Juanita, my grandma Angelina, and that.
That's a lot of wine.
We're not only one. Hey, niños, look, these are my kids. Jose, Jose Junior, and Josefina.
Okay, so he has a lot of relatives. He has Juan, he has Juanita, Juanito, Juan Junior. Just kidding.
Yep.
Here are my kids. Jose, Jose Junior. The girl is some variation of Jose.
What I'm curious about is he has a Jose and a Jose Jr.
Yeah. I think that's the joke.
Yeah. I mean, not a very creative person when it comes
siblings.
To names.
They are siblings.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a giant Mexican picnic, and she is accepted and welcomed.
Yeah. Like family.
Like almost. Family. She plays in the annual family soccer game, which... Yep. Of course, how can you have a Mexican picnic
without
a soccer game?
And she's not very good to begin with.
She's not very good, but she gets there.
She picks up the sport very quickly.
And she scores the winning goal.
Which I have to say was like a bicycle kick, which is very difficult to do.
I'll tell you what, something I'm not proud of. When you see Adam Sandler's legs in a dress, he's got some nice legs.
You know, it's funny. I was noticing his legs, but what I really was noticing...
You noticed the legs.
I was noticing the stubbled chest hair of him trying to shave it all off. But during the movie, there are moments when you can see it peeking out a little bit when he's wearing some more U-shaped shirts. And it was something that I found interesting. I don't know.
Have you ever shaved your chest before?
I'm going to go with no.
What do you mean? Okay, so no.
Yeah.
I have... once upon a time, when I was less heavy and not in a relationship, I would shave my chest sort of in an attempt to like peacock myself because I knew I was going to a pool party.
Yeah.
And I felt like my chest hair made me seem gross.
Yeah, I get it.
So I shaved my chest and it looked great. But it turns out I have very sensitive skin and broke out and had like chest acne, which of course people ridiculed me and called me Chesney, like Kenny Chesney.
It's even worse than having chest hair.
It's significantly worse.
Significantly worse.
Because it's also painful at the same time. So anyways, we're nearing the end of the show. We only have a few minutes left and we have a few clips to get through. I think I'm only going to be able to hit a couple before we close out.
We might go over a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we have anyone behind us, but we don't want to go over too far.
We don't want to go. We're not going to go too far, but let's just say this. We'll be on the air until someone kicks us off.
That's the way it is.
And if you miss the live version of the show, which is likely, you will be able to find it on SoundCloud and
other streaming platforms.
And which, if you're hearing this, will be obvious because that's likely
how you're listening.
How you're listening in this moment.
Yeah.
Okay. So we found out that Jill is starting to like the gardener. She's being accepted as part of his family. But Adam Sandler still hasn't sealed the deal with Al Pacino yet. So he's still keeping her around and he's keeping a close eye on her. And he's doing this by inviting her to the family cruise, which for the entire movie, this has been the deadline. Okay, she's going to be gone by the cruise. She'll be out of her hair. Let's just get to the cruise. The cruise is here and now she's part of it. And this is really the first time that we're seeing the two of them really get along.
Who were the double Dutch kings in our neighborhood?
And she's explaining how they used to be really great at double Dutch growing up.
No, I don't know what a jump rope is.
And for whatever reason, there's a jump rope on the cruise ship.
I've never been on a cruise ship, so I don't know what to expect, but it seems like something.
I've been on a cruise a couple of times when I was a kid. They had like a lot of fun family games. And I remember my family won a scavenger hunt. My dad won a trophy for an ice cream eating contest. And I've never been drunk. There is so much eating on a cruise ship. And that's the clip.
Kind of talked our way through that one.
We talked our way through it. That's how we should have been doing this the entire time.
I mean, there's not a whole lot to see from that clip. They're doing jump rope. They're good at it.
They're jump roping, but really you're seeing like what Jill has been chasing this entire movie because they were close as kids.
Yeah.
And they had their own little jump rope routine. And
Jill just wanted to rekindle the love, you know? And that's what's happening here in this scene. You see it all. You see it happening live.
They're getting close at the end, and then Jack sort of feels them getting close, and he pulls away again.
He's not so good in committed relationships.
And he yells at her.
Yep.
And he's trying to get her to go on a date with Al Pacino, and she won't. And he's like, okay, I know what I have to do. And we see him. So Adam Sandler's been playing both parts.
Yep.
But this is where the movie starts to get confusing. Jack finally acknowledges how similar he and his sister look.
Yep.
And goes into the bathroom, grabs the one dress Jill has that doesn't have pit stains on it.
Notably.
grabs some melons for breasts and dresses up as Jill to go on a date with Al Pacino, who picks him up. On the cruise ship in a helicopter.
As Al Pacino does.
As Al Pacino, of course. I didn't realize how confusing this movie was, but it's very isn't it. Brewing. Don't listen to that. We're going to get to that later. Jack pretends to be Jill.
Hey, what's Popcorn's problem? Mayor McCheesy doesn't like his new script?
Oh! Get over yourself.
So in this scene,
very good at
Al Pacino's talking shit about Jack.
Day,
but of course, Jack is dressed as Jill.
That's right.
And he's got a whole model in him. So Jill is defending her brother, but it's actually Jack defending himself. Jack just slapped the shit out of Al Pacino for talking shit. And now he's broken a wine bottle and is threatening Al Pacino.
Defend the honor.
He's ready to go.
Self-deluded, sycophantic, bitter hack.
This is really... And Al Pacino just took a chair to the woman he loves.
Yep.
Which I also thought was surprising.
And he seems almost unfazed by it. He's kind of just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Well, get away from me.
I didn't mean to hit you with that chair.
I don't know. He strikes me as a guy who's into weird things and likely likes things a little rougher.
I mean, he's into Jill, so.
He's into Jill, so who knows what he's into.
That's a cup for your brother. It's just...
Well, I got to do that. Don't I at least owe him that?
So we're getting into some important stuff here. Some deep-seated inner relationship stuff between the two. And Al Pacino's the one that pointed out to us.
You want to know what I see?
Yes, I want to know what you see. You can get any girl in the world, and why would you want me? Answer that. It makes no sense.
Well, I see an angel with a broken wing. I see a brother who all he got all his life was everything. Mm-hmm. All the glory, all the accolades, everything since they were two. Huh? I see a girl who wants recognition, but just never gets it. Yet, she has a heart so big, she finds happiness in seeing her brother receive it all.
Okay. So this is the theme of the movie, and you and I were talking about it either before the show or during the show. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I've had so many Sierra Mists, I can't remember.
It's a lot of Sierras.
It's a lot of caffeine-free Sierra Mists, but it doesn't matter how annoying or intolerable someone is. They're family.
Family is family.
And at the end of the day, they're... really the only things you have. They're the only ones who are with you through thick and thin.
No matter what.
No matter what. And it's taken the entire length of the film for Adam Sandler to see this.
Yep.
And that is when he finally says, you know what? Fuck the Doug Pacino commercial. I don't care if I get it. What's important to me is the relationship with my sister.
That's right.
So he's able to salvage that. We're cruising through the end, and Jill is reunited with the gardener who, you know, stereotypical or not, I don't know. Him and his kids have shoveled every flake of snow from her yard, and that is sort of his grand gesture of romance. It's like, hey.
I can clean
your
yard.
I shoveled
your
snow.
Look at that.
I cleaned your yard. Marry me.
That's, and that that's is the way to do it.
That is the ultimate grand gesture in this Adam Sandler rom-com. And we'll leave you with one last clip. And this is probably the best clip in the whole movie. And Adam, I don't think you've seen this.
Oh, no. I've seen the Dunkachino.
You've seen the Dunkachino. Thank God. Okay, so this is the infamous commercial that Adam Sandler has been working so desperately to put together. This is Al Pacino's Dunkin' Donuts commercial, also known as Dunkachino.
Something's brewing at D&D.
Wow!
Al Pacino!
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
What's my name?
Dunkachino.
It's a whole new game.
Dunkachino.
This is really hitting with today's youth.
I'm your friend. Say hello to my chocolate blend. Attica.
That was a Scarface
this
reference.
This whole trial is out of sight. They put me back in with hazelnut too. Caramel swirl. I
God,
know it was.
How long has Al Pacino just looked like a crazed drug addict?
Can't get enough.
Like, when did he go from like successful young actor to just fucking senile madman?
What's my name?
Dunkachino.
Was it during Sin of a Woman? Have you seen Sin of a Woman?
I've not seen Sin of a Woman.
We might have to do that.
It's actually 32 seconds, so I got to lose 2 seconds.
So this is the meeting between Adam and Al talking about the commercial.
Burn this.
And he's not happy about it.
Nor should he be.
This must never be seen by anyone.
If you didn't like all those close-ups, we can. No, this is not the final cut. There's no doubt we can.
All copies. Destroy them.
You want me to play it again?
Has anybody seen this?
Nobody has seen this.
Okay. They have to be found and talked to.
You know what? Right. Someone somewhere is probably saying the same thing about our show, Adam.
Yeah.
All copies, burn them.
They must be destroyed.
This must not exist any longer.
It's probably a lawyer somewhere in a copyright office.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but, we definitely got in trouble. We definitely played a lot of clips without any permission.
Yeah.
And, you know, we played them over the internet. But until we get an angry letter, we're just going to keep on keeping on.
I'm waiting for my cease and desist to come. If you need my address.
Hasn't happened yet.
No, hasn't happened
I've been yet. Running from the law for quite some time now. I've gotten good at it. Mm. Adam, let's close this out. How many legs are you giving Jack and Jill here?
I don't know. I mean, let's establish the legs rating system first, all right? So we got two legs, you know.
That's the maximum amount of human legs.
Are we... Are we
okay? That seems too hard because if the highest score you can get is two legs, then like that makes scoring.
Well, maybe we're
really
breaking
hard.
It up into half legs. Maybe we got a stub. Maybe it's a cut above a the stub? Knee, cut below the cut just above the ankle.
Okay,
he's got a foot.
That's really okay. Let's make it easy.
All right.
Max, the best score, five legs.
Okay.
The worst score you can get is legless, like Lieutenant Dan.
Of course.
So, what are you giving Jack and Jill here?
I don't know. Is five legs the good score?
Five legs, this is a good score. If you're a quint-legged, you're doing really good.
I think that's probably the way to go. You know what? I don't think this movie was particularly good. I think the plot was fairly obvious and overall fairly predictable movie. But I don't really think I go into an Adam Sandler movie for the plot, typically.
Right. You don't watch an Adam Sandler movie to think.
Yes. No. And there, I got some good laughs out of it. A couple of solid chuckles. Maybe one or two nose exhales. So I think I'm feeling about three legs.
Three legs. What a great score. And you know what? I couldn't ask for anything better than that. You're right. This movie gets a lot of crap. And it's not a good movie. It should be nowhere near the greatest movie of all time list or, you know, even the best movie of the year list.
Yeah.
But if my girlfriend insisted we watch this and I had to sit down and watch it for an evening, I wouldn't be mad at the 90 minutes that I lost.
It would not be a wasted evening.
It's not a wasted evening. And I didn't feel I was wasting my time when I watched this. So I think three legs is a good score.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to have to agree with you there. So Jack and Jill, one actor, three legs.
Yep.
That is the final rating. And I think that's where we're going to leave you guys tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in to the first edition of this program on WERW, which is what everyone wants, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real college radio, right?
This is real college radio, and we're going to get you back to some real college music or whatever Spotify decides to play. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Adam.
Thank you for listening to Lieutenant Dan's Legs. We'll talk to you guys next week. Same time, same place.
Movie TBD.
Movie TBD. It's probably going to be bad. Talk to you then. Thanks, guys.